Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. The disciples were rowing hard against the wind, and it was the fourth watch of the night. That's between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And suddenly Jesus is doing what is impossible. He's walking on the water. And Jesus says, take courage, it is I. That I really can be translated as I am. The same thing you heard in the burning bush when the Lord identifies himself as I am. So Jesus says, take courage, I am God. Peter says, if it's really you, command me to come to you across the water. And Jesus says, come. Now, Jesus commands Peter to do what is humanly impossible. And then he faults him when he fails. If you had asked Peter if he could walk on the water, he'd say no. But Peter could not walk on water unless Jesus commanded him to do so, and Peter obeyed. You see, obedience to God is a basic principle of Christian life. Obedience to God is faith. Obedience to God is faith. And he gives us many, many commands. He allows us to do mighty deeds because of faith, obeying his command. He commands us to forgive 70 times, seven times. Humanly impossible. But he commands us to do so, and we can because of him. Jesus commands the paralyzed man to walk, and only then can he walk. By Jesus' command and the obedience of that man, he was able to walk. Jesus commands us to go and make disciples of all nations. It's impossible, humanly speaking, but hearing that command, when we obey, he opens doors, he changes things. We can't do these things on our own, but only when he commands. So life in Christ for the believer is the exciting privilege of living far beyond human limitations because Jesus commands our obedience. When we say yes, when we do the thing that he asks of us, he gives us success beyond our imagination. And again, all of these things are part of living the faith. Now, what is this faith? It's so powerful that enables us to do humanly impossible things. Well, the Catechism of the Catholic Church says, faith is both a gift of God and a human act by which the believer gives personal adherence to God, who invites his response, and he freely assents to the whole truth that God has revealed. Now, remember that whole truth, not part of it, but all of it. And this revelation of God, which the Church proposes for our belief, which we profess in the Creed, which we celebrate in the sacraments. Now, the human act, to live by the right conduct that fulfills the twofold commandment of charity, again, this is the response to our prayer of faith. It flows again from that first commandment. Now, faith is the opening in our hearts for God to pour in power. Divine power comes to us to do the impossible by faith. Again, it's both a theological virtue given by God as a grace and an obligation on our part to accept his will. It's twofold. It isn't just God doing it all. We have to respond to it. So walking on water is a symbol of what is humanly impossible. Faithfulness in marriage, making a lifelong marriage, humanly impossible. Harnessing our sexuality, mastering alcohol, other addictions, overcoming all of our faults, humanly impossible, but with God's grace, now possible. Now, there are many attacks on the faith today. We take faith to mean human prudence or psychological common sense. We think of it as merely being nice or being good or doing the right thing. But the faith is more than that. We not only accept the parts of the faith that we agree with, but even those that we don't understand, even those that challenge us. Now, notice that we must accept the whole truth that God has revealed. You and I think, well, I accept 90% of it. I'm doing pretty good. I'd get an A- in most classes. But in God's eyes, we fail. When we accept 90%, we fail. It means we're accepting only the parts that we agree with. And why? Because we do not accept God's authority. We're only accepting those things that we agree with. Therefore, we've rejected God's authority and we forfeit God's power in our life. That's the problem of dissent. That's the problem of saying, well, I agree with the church on this. And then you secretly pull back on the part that we disagree with. That means that the authority of faith is not resting on God's authority, but on my personal judgment. And that means there's no faith at all. It's all or nothing. The faith has always been all or nothing. There's parts we don't understand, we're supposed to study. There's parts that are difficult. If there's parts where we're actually failing, we bring those to confession. That's the part where God calls me to something and I fail to do that. I bring my sins to confession. But I never say, well, it wasn't true or it wasn't real for me. No, it's real. The truth is there. God reveals it. And when we act upon it, power flows out from God. Remember when Jesus went to his own hometown of Nazareth? It says he worked very few miracles there because of their lack of faith. They put no faith in him, and power was not poured out. See, it's a two-way street. It isn't just saying God's going to do what he's going to do. That's not it at all. He gives divine power, reveals divine truth, makes divine commands, and when we accept them, the power flows out. How is faith lived out in the scriptures? Well, a beautiful passage comes to us from St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews. Now he says, faith is assurance of things hoped for, convictions of things not seen. He goes on to say, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. We find further on, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. That's rudimentary faith. Goes on, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning the events yet unseen, took heed and constructed the ark for the saving of his household. And by this he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when tested, offered up Isaac. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They disobeyed the king's edict to throw every baby boy into the river. They saved their son. They disobeyed the royal command, even though it was a horrible evil. They might have suffered for it. They disobeyed to do the right thing, and God honored that. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do so, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been circled 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given the friendly welcome to the spies. Again, acting by faith releases the power of God to do mighty deeds in our own life, in our world, all around us. We recognize, he goes on to say, towards the end of this passage, those who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, received promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched raging fires, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put enemy armies to flight. All of these are the things that happen because of faith, because they trusted the power of God and they acted upon it. And that's the mission for us too. Again, now, we recognize that the need for us to have faith and to accomplish, to act upon these things. Now, obviously, with faith, there has to be prayer. We know that Jesus calls us to be persistent in prayer. He says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. He wants us to be persistent. He gives us many, many stories. I think of the Canaanite woman. And Jesus says, I've sent only to the lost sheep of the children of Israel. And she's not an Israelite. And she says, but please, Lord, help me. And she goes on and he says, it's not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. He's holding her back a little bit. She says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus says, oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. Because of her persistence, she wanted this thing from God. She trusted that he could do this, that he would do it for her, and he grants the request. Now, that's powerful petition. Now, there's another kind of prayer we heard about in our first reading today. It's a very still and quiet prayer. Again, we find there that God was not in the driving wind or the fire, but in the still, small voice. Frank Capra was a movie director, one who gave us It's a Wonderful Life, one of those wonderful Christmas stories that touches hearts all along. Frank Capra was not a strong Catholic, but in his biography, here's what he writes about going to Mass. He says, I sneaked into the Catholic Church to kneel, to smell the incense, to hear the angels sing, to be lifted out of my shoes by the passion and resurrection of Christ. It may happen to you only once in 100 Masses, but it will happen. You walk back from communion with the host on your tongue, a nobody. You kneel and drop your head in your hands, and slowly the wonder of it fills you with joy. The dissolving host on your mouth is the living Christ. The priest, the church, all the bowed heads around you disappear. You hear nothing, you see nothing, you feel nothing. Your mind empties of all thought and your body of all substance, and your spirit suffused with a glorious light. And out of this glory, a word suffuses your spirit, courage. You have glimpsed the eternal, the light fades. Thoughts reform in your mind. Substance returns to your body. Bowed heads around you materialize. You hear the priest say, "Go, the Mass has ended." And you leave filled with the urge to shout out to the whole world, "Courage, courage." There is a man who in that still small voice met God. And in that still small quiet, he found what he needed. And that's what you and I do with prayer. So it has to be persistent. It has to allow silence in our lives. Sometimes at Mass, sometimes after communion, silence, quiet. You need to also do this at home, where you go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. Quiet. And there the still, small voice emerges and gives you the light and the strength to do the thing that seems impossible. And that's where the faith comes alive. The command of Jesus, given us by the church, the command of Jesus is now for us to carry out by the power of God, and he reveals his might and his power by living faith. That's the mission. So when we keep our eyes on Jesus, we're able to do things humanly impossible. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Say yes to his commands.